Yeah, so thanks, Björn, for the introduction. So I'm going to talk about, two methods actually that are joined in this study, and which are non-negative matrix factorization and long short-term memory. So after a brief introduction, I'll explain the feature extraction by non-negative matrix factorization and the classification by long short-term memory. And then I present the results on the Buckeye corpus of spontaneous speech. Yeah, so as probably most of you know, the localization of non-linguistic events in spontaneous speech can have multiple applications. One of them is, of course, to gain some paralinguistic information. For example, if you recognize laughter or sighs or other vocalizations that have a semantic meaning. But another application would be to increase the word accuracy of an ASR system. So, for example, if you know where there is lexical items in the speech and where there are no lexical items, you can perform decoding only on the lexical items, and maybe this can increase your word accuracy. So the crucial question here to answer is whether to do this inside or outside the ASR framework. Because if you think of doing it inside the ASR framework, you can just add some more models to your recognizer. For example, a word for laughter or a word for sigh, and include them in the language model and do the standard acoustic modeling of them. But another approach would be to do this outside the ASR framework in a different classifier, and this is actually the approach that I pursue here. So I do a frame-wise context-sensitive classification of the speech into lexical speech and other items, non-linguistic segments. And I do it in a purely data-based way here, which means I just train on different non-linguistic segments and speech and try to discriminate them. So why I'm confident that this should work is because we already did some work on static classification of speech and non-linguistic vocalizations using NMF features and SVM classifiers. And we could show that NMF features together with SVM outperformed standard MFCC classification here. But of course, static classification means that you already have a pre-segmentation into speech and non-linguistic segments. So this is not a realistic application, which is in this study, we now included the segmentation part. And as classifier, we used a long short-term memory recurrent neural network, which has been widely successfully used for phoneme recognition in speech, also in spontaneous speech. So I don't know how many of you are familiar with non-negative matrix factorization. So here's just a brief overview. So you have the spectrogram of the audio. It could be a standard magnitude spectrogram or a real spectrogram or whatever. And you have an iterative algorithm. In this case, in the basic case, it's just unsupervised. So it gives you two matrices that decompose the original spectrogram. So you can interpret one, the W matrix, as a basis, so it's not a basis in the mathematical sense, but anyway. And the H matrix gives you the time-varying activations of those spectra in the W matrix. And here's the place for a little advertisement here, because we have an open source toolkit for NMF Open Blizzard, which we will also present on Thursday in the evening in a poster session. So all of our experiments can be redone very easily. So the NMF algorithm that we apply is just a multiplicative update algorithm. I think it's pretty standard. So it's an iterative minimization of a cost function between the original spectrogram V and the product of W and H. And in our previous study, we could show that the Euclidean distance is not a good measure to minimize here. On the one hand, we evaluated the Kalbeck-Leiber divergence, and on the other hand, let's say a new cost function that has been proposed, especially for music processing, which is the Itakura-Saito divergence. And the main difference of those is that the Itakura-Saito divergence is scale invariant, So low energy components are weighted the same way as high energy components, basically, in calculation of the error. So now we move on to the feature extraction by NMF. And the idea here is to follow a supervised NMF approach, which means that the W matrix is predefined. This is actually an approach that is pursued multiply in source separation. So if you have different sources like speech and noise, you pre-initialize the W matrix and can reconstruct your sources afterwards. And what we did here is we predefined the W matrix with spectra from different classes, which are on the one hand normal speech, so to say, so with words and laughter here, and other vocal noise and other noise, which is mostly environmental noise or microphone noise So in an ideal world, if you do this decomposition, we can just look at the H matrix. So in the spectrogram, at the beginning we have speech, then we have a vocal noise part, then we have a laughter part, then another speech part, and another noise part. And then the activation matrix would exactly give us the temporal location of those segments, but of course this is not possible, or this does not work like that, because of the large spectral overlap between the different spectra from the different classes. So the real case is that it looks something like this, because here you see that also the other components receive some activation at this point. So our approach is just to normalize each column of the H matrix to get something like a likelihood that a given spectrum is active at a given time frame. And because those likelihood features do not contain energy information as opposed to the normal H matrix, we also add the energy. Okay, so now I come to the classification with long short-term memory. So my colleague Stavros is afterwards presenting another talk on long short-term memory, which is why I explain it here a little more in detail. So the drawback of a conventional recurrent network is that the context range is quite limited, because the weight of a single input on the output calculation decreases exponentially over time. And this is also known as the vanishing gradient problem. So the solution, or one solution for this, is to use the long short-term memory cells instead of the standard cells for the neural network, which have an internal state that is maintained by a connection with a recurrent weight, which is constant at 1.0. So this means that the network can actually store information over an arbitrarily long time. And of course, to access that information and to update it and maybe to delete it, you need some other units that control the state of the cell. And these are known as the gate units for input, output, and memory. And the great advantage of this architecture is that it automatically learns the required amount of context. So all those weights for those gate units that control input, output, and memory are learned during training by resilient propagation, for example. So you don't have to specify the required amount of context as you would have to do, for example, when you just do feature frame stacking. So of course you can ask, does this give us any advantage over just a normal recurrent network, which is why we investigated several architectures in this study. So to speak, in this dimension here is the type of unit that I use, and in this dimension whether it's unidirectional or bidirectional. So bidirectional actually means that the network processes the input forward and backward, and to this end it has two input layers and also two hidden layers. And the dimensionality of the input layer is just the number of input features, which is 83 for in our NMF configuration, or 39 if we just use normal PLP features plus deltas. Yeah, and the size of hidden layer was evaluated at 80 and 120, and the output layer just gives the posterior probabilities of the four different classes that I want to discriminate. So our evaluation was done on the BugEye corpus of spontaneous speech. I don't know how many of you know it. So it's we took only subject turns, so there remained about 25 hours of spontaneous speech. Spontaneous in the sense that it's interview speech, so there is one interviewer and a test subject, and they follow a free conversation without any specific protocol. There are 40 speakers, 20 male and 20 female, and we subdivided the corpus in a speaker-independent manner, which means we divided into a training, validation, and test set that was stratified by age and gender. So the percentages were around 80% for training, 10% for validation, and 10% for test. And yeah, to make it more reproducible, we did the subdivision in ascending order of speaker ID. And the corpus also comes with an automatic alignment of, yes, speech and phonemes, laughter, vocal noise, and other noise. And this automatic alignment was used on the training data as well to train the NMF as well as to train the neural network. So here's just a short summary on the different sizes of the test sets subdivided by classes. So as you would expect, the speech class is predominant, and yeah, especially the laughter and the other noise class are quite sparse, especially in the test set. So yeah, the evaluation that we did was motivated by the question whether it's better to model the non-linguistic vocalizations inside the ASR system or outside the ASR system, which is why we set up an pretty standard HMM ASR system on the BugEye corpus as a reference. So I'm going quite fast over this because it's all pretty standard. The PLP coefficients plus deltas and a bigram language model trained on the BugEye training set. We also experimented with other language models, but it didn't increase word accuracy. We had, in addition to the 39 monophones, we had three models for non-linguistic vocalizations, laughter, vocal noise, and other noise, that had double as many states as the phoneme models. And we estimated state clustered triphones with 16 or 32 mixtures. And yeah, as you can see, the word accuracy of the system is quite low, but which is quite common actually for spontaneous speech. So on this slide I have the comparison on the discriminability of the different classes by different types of RNNs. And the general trend that you can see is that the normal RNN delivers the lowest frame-wise F1 measure, which is the primary evaluation measure here. And UA and WA stand for unweighted average over the four classes and weighted average. A weighted average is just weighted by the prior class probability. What you also can see is that the LSTM concept doesn't give that much gain over the normal RNN, but the bidirectional BLSTM delivers a gain for almost all classes over the other networks. The only class where this is not the case is the other noise class, but this might be also due to data sparsity, as I've indicated before. So according to BLSTM size and features, we can actually conclude that the NMF features computed with the Kalbach-Leibler divergence outperform as well PLP features, and also the NMF features generated by the Itakura-Saita divergence. And yeah, the improvements are especially visible for the other noise class. But as I said, there is not that much data on that. But in summary, we can see that the unweighted average increases by about 2% absolute from the PLP features to the KL-based NMF features. And yeah, the weighted average is of course dominated by the performance on speech, which is also increased. So now to come to a conclusion, whether it's better to model the vocalizations inside ASR or outside ASR, here we can see that actually, except for the laughter class, it is always better in terms of frame-wise F1 measure to model it with the BLSTM approach instead of directly modeling in the ASR. So there are quite a few differences according to recall and precision, because we are actually not talking about detection here, but of classification. So of course, we could also reduce it to a binary detection task and calculate AUC measures, but we have not done here. So overall, the weighted average accuracy or weighted average recall is increased from 91.35 to 93.71%, and this improvement is also significant. Like Anton said previously, it's not a real significance test here, but just a heuristic measure, so the p-value is actually smaller than 10 to the minus 3 here. So concluding, we can say that the BLSTM approach delivers a quite high reduction of the frame-wise error rate by 37.5% relative, and best results have been obtained with the KL divergence as NMF cost function. And of course, future work will deal with how to integrate this BLSTM classifier actually in the ASR system. And for this, we have a quite promising approach, our multi-stream HMM ASR system, which is currently also using a BLSTM phoneme prediction, and it could also model the prediction whether there is speech or non-linguistic vocalizations. And other improvements relate to the NMF algorithm, and there we could include context-sensitive NMF features, like features generated by a non-negative matrix deconvolution, or also use sparsity constraints in the supervised NMF to improve the discrimination. So this concludes the talk from my part, and I'm looking forward to your questions.
Thank you very much, Felix. So by now we moved from slightly behind schedule to be ahead of schedule, so there's quite some time for questions. Anton.
Any idea or have you done some experiments whether ASR modeling outperforms this one or whether they both together outperform each single one?
No, I haven't done that yet, but this would be a follow-up research action.
Genua.
So how about the result for the mixture speech? I mean the speech but mixed with laughter.
So you mean mixtures of speech and laughter?
Yeah.
Yeah, actually this was speech laughter was subsumed in the study as speech, because in the bug eye corpus the speech laughter is lexically transcribed if it's possible. So in that case we want the recognizer to recognize those parts. Yeah.
Any other questions?
Your RNN,
that's your recurrent neural network. Yeah. Do you think normal before your neural network test?
No, just recurrent neural networks.
Okay.
Very short reply. So, let's thank Felix again.